Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are waiting for the last day, as Jesus told us to do. Waiting for him to come back, although he hasn't told us when that will be. Last week in the Gospel from later in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus pictured the last day for us with the judge separating the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And in that gospel, he highlighted the good works and says that he will highlight the good works that his people have done for his people. While at the same time, he will highlight the lack of good works that the unbelievers have done for his people. Today's gospel comes before that at the very beginning of Matthew chapter 25, and you'll notice that it doesn't talk at all about works. Instead, it talks about that thing from which our works come, which is faith. And that makes sense. Works come from faith. And so the thing that has to be there at the last day when the bridegroom comes is faith. And as Jesus teaches us in today's gospel, it isn't about getting faith at some point in your life and then you're good to go until he comes. It's about sustaining that faith all the way up until he comes, until the bridegroom arrives and the call goes out. Jesus uses a parable that we can understand in order to teach his disciples about that day and the importance of preserving faith, even if it's a long time until he comes. Although the parable that he tells isn't exactly the way we celebrate weddings anymore. Then the kingdom of heaven, he says, or then the Christian church, really, shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. The church, he says, at that time will be like a group of girls, likely teenage girls, whose task it is to sit out near the road and wait for the bridegroom to come by in his procession, and then to join him with the light of their lamps burning to go on the last leg into the wedding hall. It's not a practice that we're familiar with in our culture, but it was obviously common enough at Jesus' time that it was perfectly understandable to those who heard. Now, some say that in that culture, the bridegroom would actually pick up his bride along the way from leaving his home to pick her up and then continue that journey all the way with her to the wedding hall. And that may be, but Jesus' parable doesn't include the bride. And that may be to make it a little less confusing for us. Because if the bride, as Scripture says, is the church herself, then to picture Jesus entering with the church and at the same time to picture these 10 virgins as members of the church and also therefore part of the bride, it might get a little bit confusing. And so he simply doesn't mention the bride. And that's okay. We understand that the 10 virgins are the ones who are supposed to go into the wedding with him. All of them. All of them are supposed to go into eternal life with Jesus when he comes. That is, all of the Christians are. But not all 10 end up going in with him for that last leg of the journey. All 10 were invited. The gospel invitation went out and had reached them. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, crucified and risen and coming again. Now, we know that many who hear that gospel invitation reject it, don't come in the first place, never enter the church. They spend their lives refusing to repent of their sins, refusing to look to Christ alone for forgiveness. But we aren't talking about that group of people here. We're talking about sinners who hear the gospel and believe it, who make a beginning within the Christian church. They've been baptized. They walk in communion with the Holy Christian Church. And they've all been given a task. Watch. Watch for the coming of the bridegroom. Be ready to greet him when he comes. And let that be the overarching goal of your life, to watch and be ready, because he will surely come, and he'll come at a time, at an hour, when no one expects him. Also, we're not talking about those who might be called nominal Christians, the people you might meet on the street who say, if asked, "Yes, I'm a Christian," but who never darken the doorway of a Christian church. No, the ones in Jesus' parable are the ones who actually go out and wait for the bridegroom to come, at least for a while. They believe in him. They believe he's coming again. And they're all eager to meet him and to go in with him. In other words, Jesus is talking about people like all of us in this room. What's the difference between the five wise and the five foolish virgins? The five wise virgins think to themselves, "You know, he told us he's coming tonight, but he didn't tell us at what time. In fact, he told us he might be delayed, it might be late. Wouldn't it be a good idea to bring along enough oil to last late into the night in case he doesn't come early, like at 7 o'clock or at 8 o'clock? Wouldn't it be smart to make preparations not only for an early arrival but also for a midnight arrival? That way, we'll be ready no matter when he comes." The five foolish virgins didn't think, didn't listen when the bridegroom informed them ahead of time that he might be late in coming that night. They went out to wait for him, figuring he would come soon. Soon, by human reckoning. Soon enough that they wouldn't need extra oil for their lamps, at least. But what does it mean to bring along extra oil for their lamps? And what is that burning flame that they must all have in order to accompany the bridegroom all the way into the wedding hall? The burning flame is faith. Faith in Christ crucified and risen again. Faith in Christ as the Savior from sin. Faith in Christ as the sure refuge against wrath and condemnation on the day of wrath. Faith in Christ for the free of charge forgiveness of sins. It's more than a knowledge of Christ. It's a genuine reliance on him, a leaning on him, true confidence in him and him alone, that for his sake alone, God will show mercy to those who don't deserve his mercy, to you, to me, to those who deserve only his wrath and punishment. Today's gospel gets at the heart of the matter, the source of the good works, and the actual thing by which we are justified before God and so permitted to enter into his kingdom. Faith. But as Jesus warns in our gospel and in the rest of the scriptures, faith is not and has never been a self-sustaining thing. The Holy Spirit, who kindled it in our heart through his word, the Holy Spirit who brings us to trust in Jesus for entrance into his eternal kingdom, the Holy Spirit who brought us to faith by hearing, because faith comes by hearing, has not left us alone to sustain our faith on our own. If faith is left alone, it will die out like any flame will eventually die out if it's not given the fuel it needs to keep burning. That fuel, the oil for the lamps, the spiritual milk that sustains and feeds our precious faith, is still the Word of God. The Word as it's preached, as it's taught, and spoken in connection with water and bread and wine, according to Christ's command. The word, as it's then meditated on and pondered. The wise virgins are the Christians who make wise use of the means of grace now, while it's available to them, as much as it's available to them. They use the ministry of the word regularly, and as they do, their faith sends down roots deeper and deeper. Their knowledge of God and of His workings in the world and of His plan of salvation grows richer and richer. Their understanding of their enemies, the devil, the world, and their sinful flesh grows keener and keener. And their ability to stand in the face of hardships, trial, persecution, and opposition grows stronger and stronger. You will need all those things in order to endure the last times of this world before the bridegroom comes. And they only come from the ministry of the word. Now, how much strength and knowledge and understanding and faith will you need to make it another year or another 10 years? How about 20 or 30 or 80? To make it all the way to the end, holding on to Christ by faith. The answer is, as much as possible. As much as the Lord provides. Even if you think you have a pretty strong faith now, it's wise to make as much use of the ministry of the word as possible while you still can, because the day may come when it isn't available. Just as it's unwise not to make use of the means of grace now. The foolish virgins are the Christians who think they stand firm, who may be very excited at first to hear the gospel, to have been baptized, to have learned the catechism, to have received the Lord's Supper. They see the filthiness of the world, and they're ready for Jesus to come again. But then He doesn't. And they keep waiting. And He still doesn't come. And so instead of continuing steadfastly in the use of the means of grace, they come to church less often. And when they do come, they listen half-heartedly or not at all. And so plays out the tragedy. So many around the world don't have ready access to the pure preaching of the gospel or the right administration of the sacraments, but many who do take it for granted and don't use them. They foolishly assume that what they already have in their lamps will be sufficient to keep their lamps burning when the bridegroom comes. But that's not how it turns out in Jesus' parable. The cry came at midnight, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." And only the five wise virgins who had brought along extra oil had enough left to keep their lamps burning and lit. Only those Christians who will have used the opportunities the Lord will have provided to fortify their faith along the way will be able to meet him and to enter eternal life with him. The five foolish virgins found that their supply of oil was running out. It was insufficient, and it was too late to do anything about it. They couldn't borrow any from the other virgins, and they didn't have time to buy any from those who sold it. To the ministers of the word who might still preach the word to them, Jesus has told us, when he arrives, when he comes back, it will be too late to go searching for a way to get more faith. And so, it will be for those people like it was for those five foolish virgins who couldn't keep the dying flame of faith alive and thus were given no entrance into eternal life. Only the bleak reality stared them in the face of the Lord's answer, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you," followed by an eternity spent in outer darkness, the same fate that all those who never believed will face. 5 out of 10 don't make it all the way to the wedding hall. Is that really the percentage of active Christians, or at least active now, who won't remain in the Christian faith till the end? Well, I don't know. But it's a sobering prospect, isn't it? It's a sobering parable. And as Paul said to the Thessalonians, be sober, be wise. But the fact that you here are listening to this parable and the preaching of it right now, it means it's not too late. Jesus sends out this warning to you and sends His Spirit to bring it home to us here today. And by the very act of listening to it now and pondering it, considering it, you are adding a little more oil to your reserves so that you can last a little while longer as you wait for Christ to come. Take advantage of these opportunities to add extra oil, as many opportunities as you've been given and will be given, because you don't know how soon or how late Christ will be in coming. And you may need every bit of strength from His means of grace that He provides, so that you make it all the way to the end. Never take what you have for granted, because there are Christians all around the world who would give every last penny to be where you and I are today, to have the access that you have to the ministry of the Word. Learn the Bible. Learn the Catechism. Learn the Christian confessions in our Book of Concord. Learn it all a little better this year than last year, and a little better next year than this year. As Paul wrote in today's epistle, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.